Well, good evening, and thank you so much for being here at this special gathering for encouragement to give God glory for having known just one of his redeemed saints. At any time, if you feel the need to step out, or if one of your children needs to step out and needs attention, we have a live stream TV right here, right on the other side of this wall in the fellowship hall for this occasion, so that's available for you to this evening. Just wanted to give you some clarity about what we're doing tonight. What is our purpose here? Well, our purpose is not to try to commemorate the life of Eric Taber. That's not going to happen in one night. We're not going to pull that off, and so we're not going to try to do that tonight. There'll be other times for that, and we'll certainly let you know when those are. Tonight, we just wanted to provide an opportunity to be together, to encourage one another, to comfort one another, to point one another to the truths of God's word that we know but can easily lose sight of in these times, right? So we're honored by the presence of so many family here with us and friends who have traveled here tonight, and others are watching online. You need to know that, and you probably do know this, one of Eric's greatest burdens was leaving a Christ-honoring legacy for you all. In light of that, you need to know that a legacy has definitely been left here in this church. All these people are here tonight because of the deep impact that Eric has left on them. Most would think of him as a brother and friend. Others, a father figure. And others, even a grandfather as well. That's because he lived out the following refrain from a Christian poem: only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Additionally, you should know that we've only been meeting in this space right here for a couple months. And Eric was the one who was overseeing the renovation here. And a portion of it he conducted as a service to our church. And he actually said to me earlier this year, he said, "I think my main purpose in this church might be done after the next renovation." Now, I quickly dismissed it. I said, "What are you talking about? Why did you say that?" But it turns out that statement somewhat lined up with God's sovereign plan and purpose for Eric. Before I read a passage of Scripture, I thought we'd begin by noting some ways God has already received great glory in these last 2 days. First and foremost, because Eric trusted exclusively in the finished work of Christ through his death on the cross, burial, and resurrection, we know that Eric has eternal life and is with the Lord right now. For the Bible teaches in 2 Corinthians 5 that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And King David wrote in Psalm 16:11 that in God's presence is fullness of joy. Now, that's probably one reason why God has a much different perspective on the death of one of his own than we often do, since according to Psalm 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones. It's valuable when one of his own comes to heaven to be with him. Why? Each time heaven receives a sinner saved by grace, Christ is honored each time. Why? Because he's the only reason anyone goes to heaven. Christ is. No one is good enough on their own. But Eric was forgiven of his sins and covered with the righteousness of Christ simply by believing in Jesus as his only hope to be saved from his sins. Next way that God has received glory is, I can honestly say, one of the most profound testimonies I've ever personally witnessed took place yesterday at the hospital. I knew this was going to happen here. Give me a moment. It's going to be a good story, I think. It'll be edifying. After the hospital staff had done their work and done all they could, and they worked tirelessly, they made their declaration, and Reagan stood up from her chair where we were seated outside of the room. And there's about 15 or so medical staff, nurses, doctors, administrators, others, some in the room, some right outside. And she walks through them and walks into the room and takes the hand of Eric's body and first looks at the nurses and says, "Thank you. Thank you for your care." And then she says something, it's great, it's perfect timing. She says, "Actually, I don't think he was ever here today. I think he's been in heaven the whole time with God because he believes in Jesus. He believes in the gospel." And then she said, "I trust in God's word." I'm paraphrasing, her words were more eloquent. "I trust in God's word and I hope in him. I'm standing in him right now." And she thanked them again and walked out of the room. It was as simple as it was profound. Profound. Got right there, God got glory. Who knows? Out of 15 people who needed to hear that right there. Who knows how God's going to use that? Then the rest of yesterday, I'm getting texts and calls and other interactions from you all, and I'm just hearing the body is just building itself up in love, praying for one another, pointing to Scripture. How are you doing? Show concern. This is body life. This is Ephesians 4:16, the body building itself up in love. And I started connecting these things. This is the result of Eric's passing. And so in light of that, I think you could say, in one way, his life was given for the good of the body. And isn't that essentially the principle that governed his life? What wouldn't he do for somebody? This, of course, comes right from Jesus Christ. Since Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, God is getting great glory in this time. And I believe he'll continue to do so through Reagan's testimony, the testimony of the family, and the way that we think through this and give him glory. That's essentially, again, why we're gathered. How can we point to Christ in our thoughts? And so let's stand together as I read from God's word, and then I'll pray. This is from Lamentations chapter 3. This text, even the whole chapter, of course, the whole book, kind of has a kind of moves in a direction of downward and hits some rock bottom. And then comes up, comes way up. And so we're hitting that spot, and it's going to come up. Lamentations 3:17, "My soul," Jeremiah says, "has been rejected from peace. I have forgotten happiness. So I say, my strength has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wandering." So he's starting to turn to the Lord here. "The wormwood and the bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to mind. Therefore I have hope." What is it? The Lord's loving kindnesses, plural. They never cease. "For his compassions, they never fail. They never give out. They are new every morning." It's a reminder. The cycle of the 24-hour period is a reminder. They're new. It never runs out. That'd be like the sun running out. No. "They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness," he says. And he continues on. That's not it. "The Lord is my portion," says my soul. "Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him." And that's not passive, that's trusting. It's not trying to accomplish things on our own. We wait for him, to the person who seeks him. "It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord." And of course, we've studied this. The opposite of silence would be complaining or just throwing up unbelief out of our mouths. No, silently is continue to hand ourselves to God, the God whose loving kindnesses never cease, whose mercies are new every morning. We should go back to this text in this time period over and over, every morning. Go back to it. Remind yourself that there's new mercies today. There's new ways to think through difficulty and sorrow, and God gets glory through that. Let me pray, and then Philip and Lindsay will come up, lead us in some songs. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity tonight to come together as a body and with the family and friends. We thank you that we can come to you. Where else would we go? How else could we think about things? Where else could we place our thoughts if it's not in your truth and your character? We know you're completely trustworthy. You sent the Son to die for our sins. You've given up your unique, one-of-a-kind Son. What else would you have to do to prove yourself trustworthy and faithful and loving and good? And so we see your faithfulness even in saving a soul and putting just such a passion for the gospel in him and giving him such evangelistic zeal and just a care for others. Just didn't matter, just no bounds, no lines, no made up categories, just Christ-like love. We saw it, we experienced it, so we thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for just the role and friendship Eric had with all here. And so we just want to continue to give you thanks. Yes, we have loss. We realize we can't get it back in this life, but we hope for the next. And so that's why we grieve as those who have hope. We grieve with confidence, knowing your truth prevails. There's no one who can conquer you, Lord. All your promises are true because of the gospel, the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so we thank you for being able to come to you. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for giving us a peace and a comfort that comes directly from you and not from the world and that the world can't explain. So we thank you for tonight. May you just work in our hearts and just give us a just more of clarity in your truth and just your purposes and a more solid foundation that we can stand on as a result. So we commit the rest of this time to you and your great name, the name above every name. Amen.
This is by faith, even in difficulty and affliction, that we know and have confidence that he is always caring for us, that his love is always around us. You know these verses from Romans 8. We know, consider that, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. And believers, we know this with certainty. This is what God is doing. Spurgeon said this, the moment we are reconciled to God, we consent that Jehovah should do as he wills. What better rule could there be than the absolute empire of love? Let love reign without limit. Let love be sovereign. When the heart is reconciled to God, we can say, Amen. So let it be. What God ordains must be right. You may be seated. Let's go again to the Lord in prayer. Father, we have sung songs that have recognized the reality of pain, of sorrow. Dark is our road. There's bitterness, Lord, and difficulty, pain experiencing this week. As we sang, our hearts are at times faint. Our faith is at times weak. We are grieving. We weep, and it is right to do so. You know, our souls are in some ways weighed down with the sorrows of your bitter providences. And yet we have also sung of the confidence that we have as your people. Lord, our trust is in you, and you have spoken to us in your word of your character and of your ways, and we are absolutely certain that you remain faithful to who you are. You do not deviate. You do not change. You cannot. Our faith is strengthened, Lord, as we recall these truths to mind. We know that you continue to hold us in your hand. And we know that you remain the same yesterday, today, forever. We know that even if everything around us seems unstable and is, yet you are still unchanging. We know you are our refuge. Lord, we know you are our strength. As you have said, you are our very present help in trouble. Lord, we know that you're working all things according to your wisdom, according to your purposes. Lord, we've just declared together that all that you ordain is right. And we know, Lord, that what you ordain is governed by your wisdom. It's governed by your love, that your goodness, even in bitter providences, is still on display. Your care is always surrounding us. Your faithfulness is always sustaining us. Your grace is ever for us. And so even, Lord, under the weight of sorrow, we praise you. Lord, we are humbled under your mighty and yet gracious hand. We ask that you would help us to trust you. Lord, strengthen our faith. And when we're tempted to doubt, tempted to despair, may our eyes be lifted to you. May we set our eyes upon things above. May our gaze be upon Christ and nowhere else. Lord, we ask that you would sustain us. That you grant us perspective by your word. Lord, even in sorrow, may we be striving to serve others, to comfort each other with the truth that you have given to us. How kind you have been, Lord, to give us all that we need. We desperately need you, Lord, and we praise you for your perfect provision. And so sustain and strengthen our faith by your grace for the hours and days ahead. Lord, we know that one day will come in which we will all be with you. A day when our Savior will return, when all wrongs will be made right, and there'll be no more sin, the fall destroyed, the effects of it. There'll be no more tears, and your people, all your people will be united together with you for all eternity. And we have this hope, Lord, because of Christ. He has died for us, but he has not stayed dead. He's been raised from the dead, and that gives us confidence, Lord, that we too will be raised with him to be with you for eternity into the ages. Lord, we long for that day. As we wait, Lord, for our Savior, may we continue to look to your grace, to your faithfulness, to your mercy every day. And we ask that you would be honored in our hearts as we yield by faith to you. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Let me read another scripture this evening. Psalm 23, a familiar one, such a fitting one that reminds us that God is our shepherd. Listen to these familiar words. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This next song we'll sing is drawn straight from this psalm. It's called "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is," and it rehearses exactly what we just heard, the Lord's perfect shepherding care, that we can say we lack nothing. We lack nothing if we are His.
So rich lyrics. And one of the difficulties and sorrowful kind of realities of this time is that upon death we think about today and yesterday and then tomorrow. But one thing the Bible points us to, which we've already talked about and pointed to tonight, is the end. The end, when everything is going to be made the same, when we all will be with the Lord. And so this text in 1 Corinthians 15 that Paul teaches here just brings this out. And at the end, of course, it ends on this victorious note, which is exactly how we as Christians need to be thinking about sin and death in light of what Christ has done. It's not the end, it's victory. It's an evidence of victory. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, 50, "Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we all will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written." At that time, in the end, we'll see this come to fruition. Right now, we look at it with faith, and we trust in faith in God's word. Then it'll come to fruition. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where's your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll sing about that victory in this song as well. God continues to get glory. Is He not the blessed God who we can go to at any times, and He gives us what we need? So we'll end with this as the scripture. This will be good for our own hearts. And then out of that, one of the reasons again for tonight is to get us together. And so out of the comfort that this text talks about that the Lord gives us, we are then able to comfort others. And so let me read this and I'll give some just instructions about the rest of tonight. 2 Corinthians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance," it's true, "so also our comfort is abundant through Christ." That's God's word. Well, we have some light refreshments.